NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio ist, wie gesagt, die Band Japandroids in der zweiten Stunde. Brian und David kommen beide gleich zu Wort. Wir hören erstmal Musik von ihrem aktuellen Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life, und zwar das Stück Northeast Southwest. Northeast Southwest von Japandroids aus Vancouver, und die sind bei mir im Studio, Brian and David. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
You survived the short trip from Copenhagen then?
We did.
Good. And none the worse for wear and tear?
Maybe a little.
And you actually brought the cold weather with you from Canada, haven't you? So this is probably like a normal summer day in Canada, I presume.
Well, yeah, more or less, yeah. Lucky us.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you've been around for quite a long time, but it's quite a long time since you've been around, so to speak. So
yeah.
Did it seem to you like a normal path you were going down, just to kind of take some time out, or wasn't the time out maybe quite as extensive as we think it was?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the time that we released our first record until the time that we were done touring our second record, I think that was about 5 years straight that all we did was Japandroids 24/7, 365. I mean, we were either writing and recording or we were touring. And I think by the time we finished touring Celebration Rock, we just needed a little bit of a break, just to sort of just take some time, let our bodies, our minds, you know, rest and kind of get excited for, you know, continuing on. Because at that point, you're so burnt out that even something as cool as playing in a rock and roll band for a living can seem exhausting and not as exciting as it once was. And
it actually sounds exhausting, listen to you, doesn't it? So I mean, it must be exhausting, but it actually sounds exhausting for
the listener. Can be. So, and that doesn't mean it's not, you know, to the greatest job in the world, but it is a lot of hard work, and you do a lot of traveling, and you have a crazy schedule. And so we didn't actually take that much time off, not as much as people might think, probably about 6 months. And then we started working on this this new album. The big difference is, whereas in 2017, most bands make quite a big production out of the writing process and working on an album. You know, it's important these days with so many bands and the internet. It's important to keep, you know, people aware of what you're doing, keep yourself in the news. And we just decided to do the opposite. We decided to start working on this record and just not really advertise that we were writing or that we were in the studio. And so
you came up with a big bang.
Yeah, we were actually very busy writing songs and recording them. But I think for the general public, we just seemed to have disappeared because we weren't updating our social media or putting out a press release or posting photos about it. And so when we actually announced the album, you know, it seems like a couple years has gone by and people think perhaps they've broken up or they're on some kind of hiatus. And what really happens is the nice thing about that is we say, hey, we're back. And not only we're back, we're going to start playing some shows, but we have a new album and it's coming out really soon. And so
almost too much information at once for the people to actually cope with.
Well, I think the advantage of that is that if you're a fan of the band and we sort of announce we're back, you're getting everything that you could possibly want. You're getting a new album, you're getting a tour. And so that would be a whole different thing if we had said, oh, we're back and we're going to start writing some songs now. It's like, oh, well, I'm glad they're back, but I know it's going to be maybe a year before I hear anything or a year before I could see them play. And
yeah.
So.
Ja, es geht darum, dass sie 5 Jahre pausiert haben zwischen den beiden Platten, zwischen der zweiten und dritten Platte. Aber Brian meint auch, der Schein trügt ein bisschen, weil sie in Wirklichkeit nur 6 Monate richtig pausiert haben. Sie waren schon erschöpft nach dem zweiten Abend, nachdem sie ausführlich auf Tour waren, wegen der zweiten Platte. Und die brauchten schon dringend eine Auszeit. Aber die Auszeit war nicht wirklich 5 Jahre, sondern nur 6 Monate. Und danach haben sie schon angefangen, wieder miteinander zu komponieren, Songs zu komponieren. Nur sie haben natürlich dann keine Botschaften vermittelt zu der Außenwelt, dass ihre Fans und überhaupt alle Leute haben geglaubt, es würde die Band vielleicht gar nicht mehr geben. Die waren einfach nicht mehr präsent. In der heutigen Zeit ist es üblich, sich permanent in den sozialen Medien zu melden, um einfach Bescheid zu sagen, was los ist, was man gerade macht. Das haben sie absichtlich nicht getan. Sie haben sich einfach zurückgezogen. Und dann auf einmal war das Album wieder da, also das neue Album war da. Und gleichzeitig war eine neue Tournee angekündigt. Und es war natürlich, es hat einen Überraschungseffekt gehabt. Die Leute haben geglaubt, vielleicht hat die Band sich getrennt. Aber das Gegenteil war der Fall. Auf einmal ist nicht nur ein neues Album da, sondern auch eine Tournee ist geplant, weltweit. Und die Fans können sich dann richtig freuen. Das war also absichtlich als eine Art Gegenreaktion zu dem normalen Verhalten von den meisten Bands, die sich permanent in den sozialen Medien irgendwann irgendwie so eine Zwischenmeldung machen. It seems to me that in the time that's passed, it's probably given the opportunity to actually just mature in a natural way. I mean, it still sounds very energetic what you do, but it sounds maybe not quite as youthful. Mm. It sounds like a little more considered. I mean, some of it's still a bit frivolous, like some of the lyrics are quite amusing still and stuff like that, but nonetheless, and there's quite up-tempo stuff in it as well, but nonetheless, the general feel of it sounds like more like a mature person's music. Is that how it feels, or not necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, I think that came about quite naturally, you know. I mean, you know, like you said before, quite a bit of time had passed, you know, between Celebration Rock and Near the Wild Heart of Life. So, you know, I think it's just a reflection of where we're at, you know. Musically, I think we were also just very interested in expanding outwards from what we'd done in the past. So, you know, we weren't that interested in making another Celebration Rock where it's, you know, it's fast and it's loud, you know, and that's kind of all it is, you know. We're still really proud of that record, but it was interesting to us to push ourselves and make a bit more of a diverse collection of music, you know. I mean, it still sounds like Japandroids. I think it's inescapable for us to you know, not to, you know, we can't avoid sounding like ourselves, but I think we just tried to expand on what it meant to make a Japandroids record and what our band can sound like.
Were you apprehensive about that process? Or did you say it seemed natural, but did you always think you were up to it, actually? And if you go back to, like, the first album, what that sounded like, and this album now, there's a huge gap, obviously, in terms of musical competence and just basically just what you've achieved. I mean, have you always had that self-assurance to know that you've got it in you to actually diversify and expand everything?
I think our confidence has grown as the band has progressed, certainly. So I don't think we would have been capable of making this record back in the post-nothing days because we weren't nearly as confident in what we were doing. You know, I mean, for a variety of reasons, I don't think we could have made this record then. But I think it's quite natural to keep trying to challenge yourself and push yourself and having, you know, more confidence in what you do allows you to take a bit bigger risks as time goes on, I think.
Yeah, I think this is the first album where we've really been confident enough to take a risk and risk, you know, along with that failure. So I think there were a lot of risks for us musically on this album, and some were great successes and some were not so much. But I think that the idea behind that of being more adventurous is something that, you know, it took almost 10 years of being in a band before we really, I think, you know, became interested in that side of making music. And that's something that I think a lot of the, like a lot of certainly my favorite artists of all time, and I think a lot of the great musical artists, they're all known for taking risks and being adventurous and kind of defying expectations. And, you know, sometimes that comes with great success and sometimes not. But, I mean, I think the great, just the great artists and musicians, their careers are filled with risks and kind of that adventure as they approach music. And I think we're just beginning to kind of enter that phase of our career where that style of making music is very appealing to us. Like, let's see what we can, let's try this, even if there's a chance it might totally fail. So,
also David sagte eben, dass es schon eine Absicht war, es war schon durchaus beabsichtigt, tatsächlich kreativer zu werden und den Sound zu erweitern. Als sie angefangen haben, das Debüt Album Post Nothing, dann waren sie musikalisch nicht besonders kompetent. Und jetzt sind sie natürlich viel souveräner geworden, sie sind selbstbewusster geworden. Und sie fühlten sich einfach besser in der Lage, sich musikalisch zu entwickeln. Und sie wollten nicht ein Album wie Celebration Rock wieder machen, obwohl sie schon damals sehr zufrieden damit waren. aber es war natürlich von der Tendenz her einfach so schnell und laut und das war's. Und es gab keine große Variationsbreite und das haben sie jetzt, diese Variationsbreite mit diesem neuen Album angestrebt. Und Brian hat es auch bestätigt, er meinte auch, dass es das erste Mal war, dass sie das Gefühl hatten, die könnten irgendwas riskieren. Und sie meinten, dass vorher waren sie einfach nicht mutig genug, um das zu versuchen. Und sie meinten, sie wussten, dass es auch vielleicht scheitern könnte, wer sagte, dass es tatsächlich gelingen würde. Und wenn sie tatsächlich Bilanz ziehen, dann denken sie nicht, dass unbedingt alle Songs gleichermaßen gelungen sind. Aber es ist einfach wichtig für sie, einfach ein bisschen abenteuerlicher zu werden. Und sie haben im Prinzip 10 Jahre gebraucht, bis sie dahin gekommen sind. Und Brian sagt auch, dass die Künstler, die er am meisten immer geliebt hat, waren auch immer Künstler, die bereit waren, ein Risiko einzugehen. Und auch wenn sie vielleicht eine Bauchlandung erlebt haben. You were saying about favorite artists who've taken risk. Is there a case in point? Do you actually have a common role model as such, or is it difficult to narrow that down?
I think it's more. I don't think it's difficult to narrow it down to one particular one, but I just think when you collectively look at some of the great artists in their careers, people like David Bowie, or people like even like Miles Davis, or people like Neil Young, or people like you know, we're fans of people like Tom Waits and Nick Cave, and just artists that have have long careers, have extensive catalogs of music. They're the kind of artists where you can't play someone one song and to say this is what they sound like. It's impossible. Like, how could you play someone one David Bowie song, for example, that sums up what David Bowie sounds like? Well, it's impossible. You need to play 20 songs to cover all the ground that he's covered. And I think that's pretty, I mean, that's obviously a very great artist and probably a little too ambitious to sort of, you know, you can't hold yourself to that particular standard. But just that idea of like, of like being fearless and being adventurous, I think has produced in the past just most of the exciting music that lasts, you know, that's still around and we're still interested. A lot of this music was made before we were even born, and yet somehow we still listen to it and still think about it and still influences us, because at the time that they made it, it was just this kind of like, this bold new thing that you can only make happen when you get out of your comfort zone.
Also Brian sagt, dass er schon so diverse Vorbilder hat, also Helden im Prinzip aus der Vergangenheit, Künstler wie David Bowie, Miles Davis, Neil Young, Tom Waits, Nick Cave, hat solche Künstler gemeint, die ohne Furcht immer gearbeitet haben und die nicht so berechenbar waren, die immer wieder was Neues versucht haben. Bowie meinte zum Beispiel, man könnte niemals nur ein Lied von Bowie spielen und dann sagen, dass das Lied repräsentativ sei. Man müsste wahrscheinlich 20 Songs von Bowie spielen, um überhaupt den richtigen Eindruck von ihm zu bekommen. Und er meinte, sie werden bestimmt niemals wirklich so weit kommen und wirklich so so extrem wichtig werden wie solche Künstler, die wir gerade erwähnt haben. Aber dennoch ist es ein ehrenhaftes Ziel, das sie im Prinzip anstreben. Right, so we're going to hear another track from the album now. What would you like to hear now? Any favorites?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
My favorite? Well, actually, I think probably my absolute favorite on the album is The True Love and a Free Life of Free Will,
right?
Which is quite short, isn't it? Short and sweet.
Yeah, shorter, yeah.
And shorter and sweet. And it seems to maybe represent to some extent what you were saying about going down a different track and actually diversifying, getting more interesting as you get older, you know, which is it's always wise to get older and get interesting as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, well, I think as you get older, you just think about different things. Different things become important. The things that you think to write a song about that you want to express are different in your 30s than perhaps they are in your 20s. Yeah, I expect that we'll just sort of continue evolving that way as we get older into, I guess, what older people think and want to hear.
Ja, dieses Lied, das wir gleich hören, True Love and a Free Life of Free Will, ist schon repräsentativ für die etwas neue Attitüde der Band, etwas reifere Herangehensweise. Und Brian meint auch, das ist einfach so, wird deutlich, dass sie älter sind, sie sind nicht mehr so jung, die sind über 30 und deshalb gibt es andere Schwerpunkte, andere Themen, die sie vielleicht reizvoll finden, die früher nicht von Bedeutung waren. Und dieses Lied verkörpert im Prinzip diese neue Herangehensweise der Band. True Love and a Free Life of Free Will von Japan Droids, von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life. So that's what True Love and a Free Life of Free Will, von ihm aktuellen Album, Near to the Wild Heart of Life, das aktuelle dritte Album von Jappendroids, und Brian und David von der Band sind bei mir in Studio. Of course, I don't want to harp on too much about you getting so mature and mellow and stuff like that, because you still sound very exultant. Mm. And that's always been a trademark of what you do, of course. It must be difficult to sound exultant all the time. You can't feel exultant all the time, I'm sure. But it's apparent that when you actually perform the songs, there's a lot of emotional strife in there that mm-hmm. still comes over as sounding uplifting. Mm. And has that been like a conscious stance for you to actually kind of to almost as like kind of like a self-therapy to kind of come over in a positive way on the other side?
I mean, I think playing music with a good deal of intensity and that feeling of catharsis came pretty naturally to us, I think. I think that's, it always just felt natural. You know, I think the way we played right from the beginning was, putting kind of everything, every ounce of energy you had into what you're doing. And I think when you make music of that nature, the lyrics and the vocal performance has to sort of follow suit with that. You know, it wouldn't make that much sense to, have these sort of ambiguous lyrics, to match this like very, intense music. But I think, a big part of working on this new album was redefining how we achieve a certain amount of emotional intensity. I think there's more subtle routes, to achieving that same intensity that we were kind of channeling on this album. I think some of the most powerful moments in music, often come, in a very stripped down, quieter moment. So I think in the past we always kind of took the same route to achieve that intensity, whereas this record, there's a lot more of an effort to figure out new ways of doing that. That was just sort of what interested us, I think.
Ja, ich sagte, dass die Band zwar etwas sanfter geworden ist, etwas reifer in der Attitüde, aber dennoch wirkt die Musik immer noch wie so ein Befreiungsschlag und es ist immer noch ziemlich euphorisch. Und das hat auch David bestätigt. Er meinte, dass ihre Musik war immer so eine Art Selbsttherapie. Sie haben sie immer selbst im Prinzip so behandelt eigentlich in ihrer Musik. Und weil sie das getan haben, war es wichtig, dass die Aussagen, die sie in den Texten machen, nicht zweideutig sind. Und dass es immer so eindeutige Aussagen waren. Und dazu stehen sie dann auch. Und das passt dann für diese Art von direkter, intensiver Musik. Und dennoch, bei diesem Abend haben sie versucht, das neu zu definieren eigentlich, wie sie ihre emotionale Intensität anstreben. Und sie haben schon bemerkt, dass es also das oft so, dass das ganz ruhige Musik sehr effektiv sein kann im emotionalen Sinne und auch wenn es wirklich sehr karg produziert und arrangiert ist. Und sie haben einfach neue Wege versucht, um im Prinzip diese Intensität beizubehalten, aber nicht unbedingt eine rigorose auf laute Weise. And was there any kind of idea to actually maybe get a larger band, to become like a six-piece or an eight-piece? Mm. I mean, has that ever crossed your mind? Have you always been happy the way things are in that respect?
I think rather than adding more people to the band, I think that something that's interested us is how can we make the music on the album seem grander, more instrumentation, more ideas, and then find a way to pull that off in a live environment, just the two of us. So I think that's actually something that's that we've been exploring a lot touring on this album is how do we actually create a bigger, more complex sound without actually adding other people? How do we do that between just the two of us? Mm-hmm. And that's actually been one of the things that it's given some new life to touring in the band because we have this new challenge to sort of take on, which is
and you're the songs. Your off.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how do we do this just the two of us still?
With mixed results, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a fun challenge.
Because there are a bit of electronics in there as well. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you got around that then? Have you just kind of play a keyboard on the slide somewhere? Or?
Well, I mean, the one song, obviously, that's the most challenging is Ark of Bar.
Yeah.
I mean, it has that really prominent loop. It's a guitar loop. Everybody thinks it's synthesizer, but it's actually an affected guitar that was chopped into a loop and then runs through the whole song.
Oh, I thought it was a synthesizer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, we are triggering that and running that loop, but that's so far, that's the only loop we have.
So you don't need a third member to do that, do you?
Yeah.
Not really. The third member is an SPDSX sampler
and that's
that
actually,
I just trigger. So.
That's actually something that, through making this album and doing that on this song, I think has opened up the musical possibilities for us that we never would have considered before. Just having one loop to play over gives us this kind of like, gives us this certain rhythm and this certain sound that neither one of us actually has to play that we can then add on top over and create a kind of song that we never would have thought we could have created in past years and adds this like really interesting, like it's almost like the doors have opened a little bit. So,
right. And it's interesting that song as well because in a sense it seems like the obvious hit on the album. You know, to me it sounds like it should be a big hit everywhere. But in this day and age, it's difficult to get a big hit, isn't it? But you know what I mean? It sounds like it should be your stadium rock song or something. It should be your entrance, your at least the back entrance into the stadium rock or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the it's the longest song on the record. And I think
it's the longest song you've ever made.
I think so. Yeah. So that's actually, that's probably, I think, for some people, what keeps it from
perhaps
being the stadium anthem.
Well,
the
it's your Stairway to Heaven, I suppose, or something.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
That wasn't a single, is it? Was it either? So there you go.
I guess, I don't think it was, no.
No, yeah. Wir hören das Stück jetzt, Ark of Bargleich, von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life. Und das haben sie als Beispiel genommen, also wie sie tatsächlich, wie sie den Sound ausgebaut haben. Sie sind nur zu zweit. Und es ist tatsächlich so, dass sie zu zweit bleiben wollen. Die haben keine Lust, eine größere Band zu haben. Also natürlich dann schwierig, tatsächlich dann komplexe Ideen nur zu zweit umzusetzen, live sowieso. Aber das war die große Herausforderung, was diese Platte betrifft. Einerseits musikalisch komplex und interessanter zu werden, aber dennoch ganz schlicht zu bleiben und zu zweit zu bleiben. Und sie denken, dass sie es einigermaßen hinbekommen haben. Und wir hören ein Stück Ark of Bar, das tatsächlich so repräsentativ ist, weil es tatsächlich nicht möglich ist, wirklich nur zu zweit zu spielen. Ich habe gedacht, es wäre so ein Synthesizer-Arrangement, aber er meinte, es ist ein Gitarrenloop. Und das wird einfach gespielt dann auf der Bühne und sie verzichten damit auf ein drittes Mitglied. Dafür brauchen sie nicht zwingend ein drittes Mitglied. Aber es ist ein Beispiel dafür, wie sie versuchen, tatsächlich sich weiterzuentwickeln auf effektive Art und Weise. Und für mich klingt es wie ihr Hitstück. Und ja, sie haben auch gesagt, es wäre schön, wenn es ein Hitstück wäre, aber bisher ist das nicht wirklich passiert. Aber vielleicht könnte das eintreten, wer weiß. Hier ist Ark of Bar von Japan Droids, von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life. So, Ark of Bar von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life von Japan Droids. Bei mir im Studio sind Brian und David von der Band und das ist das längste Stück, das sie jemals gemacht haben. So that's the longest track you've ever made. And is that a sign of things to come then? Are the tracks going to get longer and longer then? You're going to be down to, next time it'll be 15 minutes.
I don't know if it means tracks are going to get longer, but I think something that was, something that I particularly liked about this album is that, for example, the song right before that one is maybe, I'm Sorry for Not Finding You Sooner, is maybe one of the shortest songs we've ever done.
Yeah.
So I think what's interesting about that is you've got a longer song, you've got a shorter song, you've got some sort of songs that are of standard kind of song length, and I think that just helps the album kind of flow in a different way than if all eight songs were 4 minutes long. It just gives some, you know, each song a little bit more character and makes them stand out a little bit more, and so I think that there's, I'm not sure if we're going to start writing 15-minute songs, but I'm a big fan of the idea of you know, having something that's much longer and more epic, but at the same time writing something that's much shorter and much compact. So in Ark of Bar, you're trying to put a lot of words, a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas into one song. But the song before that, there's just one simple, plain idea that's there, and that's the whole song. So.
Hey, it's interesting because I remember when I heard the album for the first time, it actually took me by surprise to find songs which were so short, followed by songs which were so long. That kept it interesting anyway, but it's also an interesting thing because I almost kind of think, like the short ones, I almost think they're almost too short. But I mean, I often get that feeling if it's a short song that I really like,
Yeah.
And for some reason, I kind of think, well, why didn't they just carry it on a bit, you know? But
somewhere out there, there's someone who's like, Ark of Bar is cool, it's just too long.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe, yeah. So. And you can't please everybody all
you
the time.
You just can't win. Yeah.
No, you can't please everybody all the time. Mm. Nee, also Ark of Bar ist das längste Stück, das sie geschrieben haben. Und es gibt andere Songs, die besonders kurz sind, wie zum Beispiel I'm Sorry for Not Finding You Soon. Es ist sehr kurz, es ist, das Stück ist direkt davor. Und gerade diese Kombination fanden sie wichtig, also für die Dynamik eigentlich und um das einfach spannend zu halten, dass alles möglich ist. Also sie würden, glaube ich, nicht übertreiben, haben sie gesagt. Die würden keine Songs schreiben, die 15 Minuten lang sind, das wäre ihnen zu viel. Aber Ark of Bar 7 Minuten und das finden sie wirklich sehr passend in diesem Fall. Und Songs, die dann nur 2,5 Minuten sind, davor und danach, das kann durchaus zu der Dynamik beitragen. Und sie meinen, sie können es sowieso nicht alle Leute zufriedenstellen. Ist immer so der Fall, dass es irgendwie Leute gibt, die, so wie ich, die meinen, ein Song ist zu kurz. Andere Leute sagen, dass ein Song wie Ark of Bar ist vielleicht zu lang. Es ist nicht möglich, die Leute wirklich dann immer zufriedenzustellen. And it's, I think it's the case that you seem to have not only just actually got more expansive in what you do, but also it actually, in terms of the messages you seem to be transporting, they seem to be more responsible in a way. I mean, I don't know, I mean, like a true love and a free life of free will, it sounds like a responsible song in a sense. Whereas the people, if they know you because of Celebration Rock, will think, well, these guys are the couple of wild cards. Mm-hmm. Now, the last thing they could do is live a conservative life and get married and have kids or whatever. But I mean, does that kind of catch up with you at some point where you just have to realize, well, you know, you've met the right girl and so that's it. So you got to kind of calm down a little bit.
Well, and I think something that's potentially something for people who are younger, especially fans that are younger than us, to understand is that those things can be equally as thrilling as, you know, maybe what drinking and drugs and partying were when you're very young. You know, there's this idea that, you know, those things are certainly associated with youth, and for a lot of people, I know that's, they want to listen to music about that, feel that that's being embraced by the band and that lifestyle. But there's, you know, I think that we're just at that age where there's other things that we find particularly, you know, exciting in the way that perhaps that stuff we did find particularly exciting back in those days. And, and you know, as our audience grows with us, they will begin to understand, you know, those things. So the idea of, you know, there's a lot of theme of love, but also I think of movement, of travel, of kind of self, you know, self-exploration, I suppose. And the idea of one thing that's very consistent, though, is the idea of just getting the most out of life, living life to its absolute fullest. And, you know, when you're younger, that takes a different shape than when you're a bit older, but the message is still the same. You know, I think that Dave and I, you know, via the band, we live our lives to the fullest that we possibly can, making the most of the experience that we have in the band and the lives that we get to lead because of it. And that's, I think, always going to be reflected on the record. It's just the specifics, you know, tend to change a bit.
Right. Ja, ich meinte, dass die Songs irgendwie so eine Art Verantwortungsbewusstsein ausstrahlen. Also gerade was die Texte betrifft, sie klingen jetzt vernünftiger und weiser im Vergleich zu früher. Und das hat auch Brian bestätigt, dass die alten Songs, die handelten oft von sowas wie Drogen und Partys und Besäufnissen und wie es war, einfach so wilde Jugendliche zu sein. Aber er meinte, irgendwann ist diese Phase vorbei. Und er denkt, dass sie schon eine neue Phase angetreten haben und das ist tatsächlich, wird reflektiert auch in den Songs, die sie schreiben. Die Liebe ist zum Beispiel ein wichtiges Thema und wie man eine vernünftige, auch spannende Beziehung führen kann, die mit Sicherheit genauso spannend ist wie das wilde Partyleben. Und es handelt auch von Reisen, weil die Band natürlich auch viel verreist ist, auch, und wie man weiß, Reisen bilden. Und das ist auch ein ganz wichtiger Bestandteil, was sie alles dazu gelernt haben, weil sie die ganze Welt inzwischen kennengelernt haben. Und letztendlich ist die Botschaft des Albums, wie man sein Leben einfach wirklich effektiv ausleben kann und wie man das Potenzial des Lebens wirklich ausschöpfen kann. Und wir hören jetzt das Stück, das ich schon erwähnt habe vorhin, I'm Sorry for Not Finding You Sooner, von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life von Japan Droids. So das war I'm Sorry for Not Finding You Sooner von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life and Japan Droids. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Brian und David von der Band. Did you only just recently learn to play the acoustic guitar? I mean, is that something you've always understood? Do you used to just secretly play it, or how did that pan out?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that when we made our first two albums, we didn't consider writing songs or recording them any different from performing them. So there's a way we performed, and therefore that's the way that we wrote, and that's the way that we recorded. And this album was the first time that we tried to treat those two things as different. So it doesn't matter. We just want to make the record sound, you know, the way we want to make it sound. We want it to sound good. And then we'll, you know, we'll keep that separate from the live show. So that just goes, there's a, you know, a lot of experimenting with different instruments, acoustic guitars, different guitar effects, different kinds of drums, you know, some synthesizers, even bass. And like I said earlier,
even bass, yeah.
some of those experiments really worked. Some of them, I think, didn't work quite as well. But I mean, that's what that album is. It's an album of us taking risks for the first time. Yeah. And so maybe there'll be some more acoustic guitar on the next record. Maybe we've learned our lesson.
Right,
I don't know.
Ja, ich meinte also scherzhaft, ich habe sie gefragt, ob sie gerade angefangen haben, die akustische Gitarre zu spielen, weil man hört tatsächlich zum ersten Mal akustische Gitarre auf dem Album. Aber sie meinen, nein, das konnten sie natürlich schon immer, aber es ist das erste Mal, dass sie den Live-Auftritt nicht gleichsetzen wie das Album. Früher haben sie einfach versucht, ein Album zu machen, das genauso klingt wie ein Live-Konzert. Und zum ersten Mal haben sie das einfach anders gesehen. Die wollten ein bisschen mehr experimentieren und deshalb ist nicht nur akustische Gitarre vertreten, sondern auch Schlagzeug und Synthesizer und Bass sogar. Und er meinte, es ist nicht alles komplett gelungen, aber es war das erste Mal, dass sie das so riskiert haben. And is Vancouver no longer home for you? Is that right? Have you moved away? I thought I read somewhere.
I'm still in Vancouver.
Oh, you're still in Vancouver.
Yeah, right. I live in Mexico City now.
Yeah,
right, which is a big difference, obviously. It's very much different to Vancouver. Yeah.
It is, yeah. Mm.
And has that changed the creative process in any way that you're aware of or not?
It certainly has, in the sense that because we don't live in the same city anymore, just getting together to work on music is a much bigger logistic challenge than when we used to live, you know, in the same neighborhood. But I think it's also been a very positive and inspiring thing for us. I mean, one of the main themes on the album is sort of travel or movement, is because the whole time we were writing that record, we were moving around constantly. So sometimes Dave would come to me down in Mexico. Sometimes I would go to him. Sometimes we meet in another city, you know, halfway between each other. We were in Toronto. We were in New Orleans. We were in Montreal. We were recording in Vancouver. We were mixing out on the East Coast. So the not living in the same city has made travel and movement a part of our lives, independent of touring. You know, we were already two people that travel around quite a bit together because of all the touring that we've done. But because of this move, now we travel together in the times that were usually reserved for being in Vancouver and staying put. And so I think that that's played it's been a positive impact and played a huge role in shaping the themes of the lyrics and the album.
Right. Ja, also Brian meint, dass sie nicht mehr in derselben Stadt wohnen. Die kommen zwar aus Vancouver ursprünglich, aber David ist noch da, aber Brian lebt inzwischen in Mexico City. Und das ist natürlich auch also schon ein bisschen problematisch, weil sie nicht mehr zusammen in derselben Stadt leben. Und deshalb ist es ein Aufwand, wenn sie sich dann treffen. Aber er meinte, letztendlich ist es sehr positiv und inspirierend gewesen. Also weil sie dadurch permanent in Bewegung geblieben sind und irgendwie so kreativ, so frisch und am Ball geblieben sind. Also entweder ist dann, also David dann zu Mexico City gefahren, ist dahin gefahren und haben sich dann dort getroffen. Oder sie haben sich irgendwo anders getroffen, wie in Toronto und New Orleans und Montreal. Und deshalb war es ein so ein spannender, kreativer Prozess. Und er denkt, dass letztendlich, dass das Album davon profitiert hat. Und dass sie dadurch letztendlich, also besonders inspiriert waren, eigentlich was Vernünftiges auf die Beine zu stellen. Es ist vielleicht ein bisschen eintönig gewesen, nur in derselben Stadt immer zu bleiben. Right, well, we're coming up to the end of our time now. I think it's interesting because I think, in a sense, you've achieved what people think is the impossible. You've managed to sound mature but still sound really fresh. Mm. And that is something, you know, people often come a cropper when they get too mature because it mellows out too much and gets a bit dull.
Mm.
And the album sounds anything but dull, but there you go. I'm sure you're aware of that, and you're pleased that it's turned out that way.
Well, thank you very much.
That was certainly the aim, so
yeah.
I'm glad that you think we did. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very exciting time for our band. You know, I think we opened a lot of doors on this new album, you know, and I just feel very free creatively right now. I think we both do. Because we challenge ourselves and push that word on this new record, it feels like there's a million directions to go from here. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there are these moments of tenderness, and it's not maybe as abrasive and loud and high energy as the last record. But, yeah, it feels very feels like there's a lot of freedom for us right now to kind of make a much wider variety of songs, which is very inspiring.
Ja, ich meinte, dass die einerseits klingt das Album reif, aber dennoch noch frisch, und es ist eigentlich nicht so das Leichte gesagt als getan, also diese beiden Ziele tatsächlich effektiv hinzubekommen. Und ich denke, dass es der Band ziemlich gut gelungen ist. Und David meint auch, dass es tatsächlich so ist, dass sie das Gefühl haben, dass sie eigentlich, dass alles möglich ist jetzt. Sie können in verschiedenen Richtungen arbeiten. Sie haben das Gefühl, dass irgendwie dadurch sind viele Türen geöffnet worden und sie fühlen sich wirklich so befreit. Und sie haben das Gefühl, einerseits wirklich sanftmütige Musik mit so einer Zärtlichkeit hinzubekommen, aber auch immer noch raue Musik, wenn sie es möchten. Und alles ist im Prinzip möglich. Right, well, thanks very much for talking to me. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Good to see you. And hope to see you again soon. Have a good time tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So das war meine Studiogäste, Brian King und David Prowse von Jappendroids aus Kanada. Und wir hören jetzt zum Schluss und wir noch ein Stück von dem Album Near to the Wild Heart of Life, und zwar No Known Drink or Drug.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.